Let's take our Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 12. We're finishing up the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the things that you've taught us as we've gone through the book of Daniel. We thank you for the truth. Thank you for the understanding of how you work in men's hearts. Thank you for how you judge men. Thank you for your graciousness and your mercy on man. And Father, as we come to this last chapter, these last few verses, help us to have a greater understanding of who you are. Father, help us to have that renewed understanding of the fact that you are in control of all things. And we don't have to fear what lies ahead. We don't have to fear the days ahead. We don't have to fear what devastation is going to happen, because we know that you are aware of it. We know that you are in control. You allow all these things in order to draw us to yourself. Father, I pray that you encourage our hearts this morning. I pray that you challenge us from your word. I pray that you'd help me to be clear and accurate in what I say. I pray that you would help all the distractions this morning to be removed. I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we conclude the book of Daniel, I want us to review some things that we've seen. This book is really a testimony of God's work in the life of Daniel, in the life of his three friends, in the life of kings and nations, and then the prophecy that he gave to Daniel. We began by detailing the events that brought Daniel and many of his fellow men to Babylon. And really, it was all done because of the disobedience of Israel, that they turned their back on God, and so God said, if you do that, you're going to be taken into captivity. Because of their disobedience, God allowed them to be taken into Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, and that brought Daniel and his friends, his other fellow men of the Jewish nation, into Babylon. We also saw the character and wisdom of Daniel and his three friends as they stood strong in their godly convictions of truth and separation from the influences of the world. Now, made for some definite challenges as they lived in Babylon, as they grew up in Babylon, as they served there. But God honored their faithfulness. God honored them for honoring him. And they came through with God's blessing and with the favor of kings. We looked at how God confronted the pride and the selfishness of kings whom he had placed in positions of authority, and how some responded with humility, others did not. God used these kings to place Daniel in a place of a position of leadership where he could have an effect for God's people, much like Esther did. So God put Esther in that position she was in. God put Daniel in the position he was in so that he could have an effect for God's people. God even worked in the heart of Darius to decree that the Jews could return to their homeland to rebuild the temple in order to restore the worship of God. In the last few chapters of Daniel, we've seen the prophecies that God has given to Daniel and how he's shown that Daniel, that judgment is going to continue to come on God's people. Some of that would continue for days after Daniel, or days that Daniel lived, some on after Daniel lived, but some of it would continue on many years, even years beyond us, the prophecies of God's judgment. Daniel would not live to see all those things. He was given that special revelation of prophecy, and I believe it was because Daniel walked with God. Because Daniel had that fellowship with God. Daniel had that obedience to God, that devotion to God, that God revealed those things to him. And Daniel comes in direct contact with God's messengers and even the pre-incarnate Christ. He's also given a glimpse into the spiritual warfare that exists between God's angels and the demons of Satan. And so Daniel gets his revelation of many of these things. But as we come to chapter 12, the revelation that Daniel receives shifts from those things that would happen in the years following Daniel to the last days of time, when Christ returns at his second coming to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. But those days we see in this passage and in other passages, those days are preceded by the time of Jacob's trouble or the great tribulation, as we read about in other passages. We also refer to it as the 70th week of Daniel. Last week we looked at the destruction that Antiochus Epiphanes would bring on the Jewish people. But in chapter 12, we have the parallel that the Antichrist and the greater destruction that he will bring. So let's look at chapter 12 here and understand what is being said here. First of all, verse 1, we see the deliverance of Michael. It says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." Michael's considered the prince or the guardian of God's people. He's considered the guardian of the Jewish people. We see that in other passages. If you look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, we see Michael there. Fighting on behalf of God's people. He said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Look down at verse 21. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." And so Michael is the guardian of God's people. Michael fights on behalf of God's people. We see during that 70th week, and specifically the middle of that week, that Michael and his angels will fight with the devil and his demons. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Once again, Michael is fighting on behalf of God's people. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. It says, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And so we see here that the dragon is defeated. The dragon is cast out. That old devil, the serpent, is cast out of heaven. He's no longer able to roam about the heavenly realm, and he's cast down to the earth. Job chapter 1, verse 6 shows us that Satan, up until that time, he roams the heavens. He roams all over, accusing the brethren. Job chapter 1, verse 6, what does he do? The time when the sons of men were gathered before God, Satan also himself comes, and he tries to accuse Job. Say, he's not gonna stand. He's not going to fall. You're just helping him by giving him all these things. And says, okay, take away what he has. Oh, he's not going to stand for you when you take away his health. Okay, take away his health. But Job continued to stand. But Satan was accusing. Satan is there accusing. And you know what? He'll do the same for believers today. He'll stand there and accuse us. He'll come and we sin and say, "Ah, see, they're no good. They do wrong anyway, even though you call them your children." He's accusing the brethren. But there will come a time when he'll be cast out of heaven. He'll no longer have access to come before God and accuse us, because the devil and his demons were removed from roaming in the realm of heaven and confined to the earth. They're going to take out their vengeance on God's people. See, Satan's not giving up. But notice that end of verse 12. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. Realize that? You realize Satan knows what's recorded in Scripture? He knows that his end is coming. He knows his doom is set. But he's not going over in a corner and just waiting for that time to come. He's roaming about trying to destroy all that he can. And Satan comes down and he's cast to the earth. He's cast out of the realm of heaven to roam about and accuse the brethren. But he's coming to the earth, and now he's going to accuse and he's going to fight against Israel with all his fury, with all that he has. And you look at chapter 12 of Revelation, or actually go on down to verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might flee into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we see here that he goes and he releases his fury against God's people. And we see it back in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, how that time is described. It says here, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. Never before that time will there have been a time of tribulation and persecution against the Jews. You say, what about the Holocaust? The Bible says never before was there a time like will be that time. And now that was a terrible time. But the time here is going to be so much worse, so much more destructive, so much more furious against the Jews. And 2/3 of the Jews will be killed during this time of tribulation. It's said that 1/3 of the Jews, 1/3 of the population of the Jews was killed during the Holocaust. But at this time, 2/3 of the Jewish population will be killed, and only 1/3 will remain. We see that in Zechariah chapter 13. We look at chapter 12, verse 1. There will be some that will be delivered. It says in chapter 12, verse 1, at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Who is that? It's those who believe in Christ during that time will be delivered out of that. Does it mean they're not going to go through it? No, they'll be delivered through it and out of it at the end. And so they will come out of it victorious at the end. Now some will be killed that believe in Christ, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So we see the deliverance of Michael. We see Michael fighting for the people of God. But secondly, I want to look at the resurrection of the tribulation saints in verses 2 and 3. It says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so we see here those who died as martyrs in the tribulation will rise again. It also speaks of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. And at this resurrection, those who have followed the Lord, those who have believed in him, will be rewarded. In verse 3, we see they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. That's the idea of receiving rewards, receiving crowns that they again can cast at Jesus' feet. But look at how it distinguishes those who follow Christ. So they that be wise, who is that? Again, that's believers. Look back at chapter 11. We pointed to this out last week. Chapter 11, verse 32. Look at the last half of that verse. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Look at verse 33. They that understand among the people shall instruct many. Who is that talking about? It's talking those who trust Christ, those who know God, those who follow God, in the tribulation. And those saints enter the millennial kingdom and they reign with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20 talks about that. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Again, some who trust Christ in the tribulation will be killed, but others will go through it. Revelation 24 says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so we see the resurrection of those who died in tribulation. Then we see thirdly the preservation of truth in verse 4. We see that it says, Thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. So Daniel's told to close it up. Does that mean he's supposed to hide it? He put it in a corner? He's supposed to take it and to preserve it. He's supposed to take that truth and preserve it so that others would know it. And as I thought about that, as I was studying, it reminded me of Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. When we lived at Camp Joy, my wife had stenciled some verses around the rooms of our home. In our living room, this was one of the passages that she wrote. He stenciled around the perimeter of the living room. Look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And so when God tells Daniel, seal it up, close up the book, he's not saying, Daniel, put it away somewhere until it's time. He says, no, Daniel, preserve it. Daniel, hold it so that it can be read by others, so that others can understand it. And we see in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is talking to people there in Matthew 24, verse 15. Verse 14 says, This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And so he's saying, you have that revelation. You have that truth preserved for you. You have that truth sealed up for you in the book. Take those things. Understand what is being said here. And God does not reveal truth so that it can be hidden from others. Rather, he reveals truth that it might be made available for others. And it says here in verse 4, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. What is that saying? Barnes says, there is nothing else to which it can all be so well applied as to the labors of Christian missionaries, ministers of the gospel, and others who in the cause of Christian truth go about to rouse the attention of men to the great subject of religion. And the natural application of the language is to refer it to the times when the gospel would be preached to the world at large. Men shall run to and fro. Men will go out and spread the message. Men will go out and tell other people. And knowledge shall increase. Think about that. How many more details of the last days do we have than even what's recorded here in Daniel? Why? Because we have Daniel. We have the Gospels where Jesus taught about some things that would happen in the last days. We have the epistles. And we have the whole book of Revelation. We have more revelation than Daniel had. Knowledge will increase. Our understanding will increase as we read God's word, as we understand God's word. And so there's really no excuse for anyone to not be prepared for what is to come, because we have all of that here. The Bible gives us enough truth about God's plan that we can make right choices to follow Christ. And we can see what's happening, what's going to happen. We come to verse 5 through verse 12, when we see Daniel's final revelation. Verse 5, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And so he tells Daniel, he says, Daniel, these things are going to happen. And these two angels, one on this side of the river, one on that side of the river. And one of the angels says to the one in the middle, who I believe is the pre-incarnate Christ, says, when will these things happen? And he holds up his right hand. And he holds up his left hand. What is that? He's signifying by an oath. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Look at verses 22 and 23. Abram had just delivered Lot and his family from these kings that had taken over Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 21, the king of Sodom wanted to give Abram some big gift. And Abram in verse 22 said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the possessor of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So Abraham was this. He lifts up his hand. He gives an oath. He says, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. So Abraham said, I will make an oath before God that I will not take anything from you, because I'm not giving you any credit. All credit goes to God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 40. God is speaking to Moses here. And again, it says, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. God is saying something that cannot be taken away, something that cannot be taken because it's an oath. It's something that's declared that cannot be removed. I live forever, God says. And when Daniel sees this one clothed in linen in the midst of the rivers, he raises up his hands and he says, Daniel, it will be a time, times and a half. So I know, I will declare that it will happen. It will be accomplished. He signified by an oath that it would come to pass and that there would be an end of these things. And again, he gives the answer of time and times and half a time. It's going to be 3.5 years. The time is a year. Two times is 2 more years than the half of a year. So 3.5 years is when these would happen. And what's going to happen? To scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. When the Israel is brought to the end of themselves, it's when they finally say, okay, we will turn. We will accept Christ as our Messiah. We will accept him as the Savior of the world. When they will come to the end of themselves, their power will be nothing. That will be the end of time. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Verse 32. Up until this time, Israel, up until this time that Daniel's being told about, Israel has tried to determine their own way. They've denied the fact of the coming of their Messiah. They've rejected the salvation that has been offered. But in the last half of the 70th week, they will endure such tribulation. They will be brought to their knees. And many will turn to Christ and receive him as their Savior. But Daniel chapter 20, or Matthew chapter 23, verse 32. I'm not in the right passage here. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you unto prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, and whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. What is he saying there? He's saying, I've sent men to you to tell you the truth, and you've killed them. I've sent men to tell you to warn you, and you've killed them. You've put them aside. You've ignored what they've said. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What's he saying? Jesus is telling him, he says, I tried to warn you, of things that are to come. Tried to gather you in because there's danger coming. Tried to help you, tried to gather you as a hen gathers her chickens to protect you from the danger, but you didn't want to come. He said, no, we'll be okay. We'll just stay out here. We'll be okay. He said, you won't see me again until you see me come in the last days. And Daniel asked a question in verse 8. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of those things? He says, What's going to be the result? Why do they have to go through these things? Why the suffering? We talked about that last week. He said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. This is a time of tribulation or a test to see who will accept Christ. Some will, others will not. Others will continue to reject him. Others will continue in their wickedness. Look at Revelation chapter 16. This passage talks about those who will continue in their wickedness despite the warnings, despite the judgments. Revelation 16 verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Verse 21, there fell upon men a great hail of heaven, out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Paul addresses the same idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You know, it's interesting how that, you know, we heard about in Sunday school, the corruption of man's heart. It's interesting, when God brings judgment, when God brings chastisement, how we blame God. It's like, wait a minute, we've got things backwards. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There will be those who accept the wisdom of God, but there will be those who will follow the foolishness of the world and the foolishness of man. But the revelation continues with two periods of time that are listed here in verses 11 and 12. So he told Daniel, he says, Daniel, the result of that is going to be purification. It's going to be a cleansing. And it says in verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Why the difference? What's the difference here? We have 1,290 days. Now, the 3.5 years is 1,260 days. We have 30 days more here in this first time frame. Most believe this refers to the time of cleansing of the temple because the Antichrist brings that desolation of the sacrifice and he stops the sacrifice and he brings that abomination. We see that there's a time of cleansing of the temple to bring it back to the system of the sacrifices that need to be made. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We see another illustration of this with Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Hezekiah wanted to reinstate the sacrifice. He wanted to reinstate things, the Passover. But they needed a time of cleansing. They needed time because people weren't prepared properly for that. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So there needed to be that time of cleansing. There needed to be that 30-day period where they cleanse the temple. They cleanse it in preparation again for the sacrifices. But what about the 1,335 days? What was that? Why the additional 45 days beyond the 1,260 days? Well, this would be a time of judgment. If you look at Matthew chapter 25, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. And he says he puts the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. This is a time of judgment when the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints receive the rewards and others are judged and sent to everlasting torment. They're given positions, those who are followers of Christ are given positions in the millennial kingdom. But Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, let me read that passage for you. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In verse 41, he said, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so this is a time of judgment, a time when judgment has taken place and those who are followers of Christ will receive the rewards and they'll be given positions in the millennial kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, it talks about that. Matthew 16, verse 27. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. We go back to Revelation chapter 20. We read that passage a minute ago at verse 4, but Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, he talks about the martyrs who are resurrected. Verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So those who died in the tribulation who are followers of Christ will be resurrected. Those who died in the tribulation who are not followers of Christ will not be raised again until after the 1,000 years, according to verse 5. But verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so he begins to reveal to Daniel these times that will take place. And we come to verse 13 here. We see Daniel is exhorted to rest. Daniel is told to rest. He says, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. See, God has given us his complete revelation in Scripture. God has given us everything here that we need to know. By complete, we have all the instructions needed to live a godly life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, because Christ has delivered us from that corruption. Because we have God's word, we have the complete revelation that we need. We can live in godliness. He tells Daniel, go on living as you have, Daniel. Go on being faithful. Go on, be faithful to the end, Daniel. And you will enter into that rest from this life. You'll enter into that time, Daniel, where you can finally rest from the cares of this life. But Daniel, one day you will stand in your lot. So Daniel, one day you will stand in that position. You will stand in your place in the kingdom. Because you have been faithful, Daniel, you will stand again in that place in the kingdom. And you will rule with Christ. And Daniel will be resurrected at the end of the days, it says in verse 13. When Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom, which will be the end of the rule of man on this earth, and the beginning of Christ's rule for 1,000 years, and then for eternity in heaven. But what about all those details that God doesn't give us? We've got all the revelation we need, but what about all those other little things that God hasn't included? We have to live according to what God has told us and leave the rest to the sovereignty of God. If we knew all the details, we'd be scared to death. And we'd be fearful. But you know, that's part of God's love, because what does it say in 1 John? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So because God loves us, he's given us everything we need to live as we should. But he's withheld those things that we don't need to know, but we need to trust to his sovereignty. How do we apply the things we've learned in the book of Daniel? First of all, God has set the timeline of events for man. God has set them. The timeline is set. God will take care of those things. They will happen. Secondly, man has rejected God and must be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way man can be reconciled to God. Thirdly, there is a judgment coming. And those who reject Christ will spend eternity in the lake of fire. But fourthly, those who receive Christ will be with him for all eternity. And that's the hope that we have. We have that hope in Christ because of what God has sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Fifthly, knowing all the details of the end times is not nearly as important as knowing Christ as your Savior today. That's the most important thing, that you know Christ as your Savior today. And then the last thing, we all have to make the choice today. Are we going to trust Christ as our Savior if we haven't? Are we going to follow and be faithful to the end like Daniel was told to do? We all have to make the choice today. We have to live for God while He gives us the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the things that have been recorded here for us. You know, Your word says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And Father, as we looked at the way You worked in lives in the book of Daniel, we can look at our own lives and realize, you know, you can work the same way in our lives. You can humble us when we're proud. You can put us through trials to test our faith and our commitment to You. Father, You can allow men to oppose us to test our faithfulness to You. Father, help us to be faithful to the end. Help us to walk with You, knowing that one day we will stand before You and that our desire would be to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know You as Savior, help them to make that choice today. Help them to realize the time is near. It could be today, when there will be no more opportunity. I pray that they would make the choice to receive You as Savior today. We thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen.